This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter number 6. And we started a series called Tough Times. And tonight we're going to continue on in that as we talk about wrestling with worry. Wrestling with worry. It seems like we are in a culture that is filled with worry. People worrying about the future. They're worrying about their finances. They're worrying about all sorts of things. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about facing the tough times of worry. And we find Jesus' words tonight in Matthew chapter number 6. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 25. The Bible says in verse number 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." I want you to look every time you see this phrase, take no thought. It's found in verse 25. If you'll glance down, it's found in verse 27, again in 28, again in verse number 31, and then also you'll find it there in verse number 34. And so this is the context. What does it mean to take no thought? He's saying, don't worry about these things. Don't be anxious about the things that Jesus is talking about. He says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your own body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns." Watch this. "Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I want you to look at verse number 33 before we're seated one more time. Look at verse 33, and let's read this verse aloud together. Can we? Ready? Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'm going to have to be seated tonight as we talk about for just a little while wrestling with worry. Let's pray together. Father, I'm so excited, Lord, about what you're doing in the life of our church. And God, I pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And just perhaps tonight there's somebody sitting in this room within the sound of my voice. Lord, they are wrestling with worry. God, they've been kidnapped by it, Lord. They're preoccupied by it, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that somehow, some way, Lord, you would break that cycle, and may they take all their cares and cast it upon you, because you tell us in your word that you care for us. So I pray, Lord, as we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into our midst, that you'd help us to do what you've called us to do, and we will thank you for it. And all God's people can say, amen. Now, one man summed up our subject by stating this. He says, "Sometimes it's carved into our bodies by what we call ulcers. Sometimes it's etched into our faces by the lines that we call wrinkles. It may be perched on our lips by the shape we call a frown. It may be heard in the footsteps pacing back and forth across the floor. Sometimes it's accompanied with sleepless nights. Some people call it tension, others call it anxiety, but Jesus called it worry." And tonight we're going to talk about this subject of worry. And what I have found in my years of ministry in dealing with people who deal with being anxious and worrying is I always find that their worrying is somehow connected to the future. It's always something that's going to happen tomorrow. They're so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow that they're not living today. And maybe that's you. You're so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week that you're basically not living today. I want you to know that today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that you ought to give honor and glory to God. Today's the day that you ought to praise Him. Somebody say amen. You may not have the chance to do it tomorrow, so do it today. Somebody say amen. And so a lot of people, they're so worried about tomorrow, they never ever live for today. A lot of people walk around and they say, well, I'm so afraid of what the future holds. I'm afraid that I'm going to be alone in the future. I'm afraid about what to do in the future. I'm afraid that I'm going to not have everything that I need in the future. I'm afraid somebody's going to hurt me or someone's going to abandon me in the future. I'm even afraid of the future because I'm really not for sure if I'm going to make it to the future. I'm not for sure if I'm going to make it tomorrow. And most of our worries that we have seems like it is connected to our tomorrows. When you are fearful of tomorrow and you are fearful of the future, I can tell you that two things are happening in your life. Number one, you're acting like a spiritual orphan. You are acting like that God has abandoned you, that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care for you. I want you to know, friend, listen, you are not a spiritual orphan. You are kept by the very power of God, and God will lead you and guide you and direct you even in the times of your worry. If you believe it, say amen. So you're acting like a spiritual orphan. The second thing I would say is that you're not trusting God's power. You're not trusting in the Lord to take care of your tomorrows and your future. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said so many years ago. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Did you know that God can be known? God can be known through the pages of His Word. So never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You know what amazes me about the subject of worry is that what they worried about 2,000 years ago is the same thing that we worry about today. When you read Matthew chapter number 6, it's like reading exactly what's happening in all of our lives. What they worried about then, we worry about now. You say, preacher, what is it? Well, first of all, they worried about their finances. Look at Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 19. The Bible says, lay up not yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. He says, but lay up treasures in heaven. So many people today, they are worried about their finances. They're worried about the stock market. They're worried about what's going to happen next. And I want you to know, friend, when we begin worrying about our money, what's the very first thing that we cut out? When there seems to be a lot more month at the end of the money, right? We're all living that way. When it seems like the money is running out and we're running a little bit short, what is the very first thing that we decide to cut out in our lives? Well, let me give you this example. There's this little girl one time, and her mom came up to her and gave her two brand new $1 bills. And she said, honey, she said, this $1 bill is for the church, and then this $1 bill is for some candy after church. Well, that little girl was so delighted and excited that her mama gave her those two brand new $1 bills that she ran outside the stair, outside on the porch, and a gust of wind come by and blew both of those dollar bills right out of her hand. Well, she ran down the stairs, and she went chasing those dollar bills, and she caught onto one, but the other one slipped away in the wind, and it was lost forever. As she was walking back to the house, she looked up to heaven and said, well, God, there goes your dollar, huh? Right? It seems like the first thing to go, the first thing that we cut loose is God. Let me ask you tonight, when it comes to worry, are you cutting God out of your life? Tonight, you're so worried about your future, you're worried about your finances, you're worried about tomorrow, you're worried about the government, you're worried about North Korea, you're worried about the NFL football, you're worried about so many different things. And it seems like the more we worry about all these things that's going on around us, we leave God on the outside as we focus on our problems. And so the Bible says these people here, they were focused on their finances. They were worrying about finances. Not only did they worry about finances, but look at verse 25. People also worried about food. The Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And they worried about food. You know, there's a lot of people in our world today worrying about food. With all the hurricanes and the storms that have just wrecked many of our states and other countries like Puerto Rico going through such a terrible, terrible time, there are people tonight worried about where the next meal's going to come from. And they're worried about how they're going to find food to sustain their lives. And they worry about these things instead of trusting God to provide for their needs and to watch out over them and to lead them and to guide them and direct them. They worried about food. They worried about their finances. Notice also, they worried about their fitness. Look at verse 27. The Bible says, which of you by taking thought, that is, which of you by worrying can add one cubit unto his stature? That is, which of you by worrying can bring any health or prosperity to your body or your life? Now, I want you to know, I believe in physical fitness. I believe we ought to, you know, work out. We ought to try to exercise. We ought to try to keep our bodies in shape. And we also should try to have a disciplined diet. I have a disciplined diet. I discipline my body to eat Mexican food 3 times a week. I have a disciplined body. I discipline my body to eat a piece of pizza today. So I have a disciplined body. I guess we all could be honest with ourselves and say, yeah, there's a lot of things I need to do, and one in particular, I need to take better care of myself. And you kind of get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And our blood pressure is up, and a little walking would go a long way with a lot of us. Cutting back on some fats, and yes, and cutting back on some of the fatty foods like the Mexican food, eating there often like I do, that would help us out in our health. I believe in physical exercise. I believe that we ought to have a disciplined life when it comes to our diet and what we put within our bodies. But I want you to know this, that God never, ever intended for us to pay more attention to the upkeep of our body than the upkeep of our relationship with Him. Listen, if you've got time to go work out in the gym, then you got time to bend your knee and talk to God. Somebody say amen. We run here and we run there and we spend hours trying to take care of this old body. And we spend very little time taking care of the spiritual life. The Bible says they worried about food. They worried about their finances. They worried about their fitness. They worried about all these things. And I do believe that we ought to pay attention to our bodies. I believe that the body is the temple of God. If you believe that, say amen. I believe that you ought to take care of your body. I came across a unique book. It's entitled None of These Diseases. It's the title of the book, None of These Diseases. It's by Dr. S.I. McMillan. And in this book, he identifies life-threatening medical conditions that he believes, and it's his conviction, that could be prevented if people will just learn to trust Jesus Christ for some of the things in their lives. And in one of the chapters, he gives a list of things that worry and anxiety can actually do to the body. This is what happens when you are anxious. This is what happens when you begin to worry. He says there are disorders in the digestive system, in the circulatory system, in the nervous system. There can be disorders of the glands, allergic disorders, muscle joint disorders, infections, eye diseases, all because of worry, skin diseases, and heart diseases. A little further in the book, he says, stress in small amounts is often necessary and helpful, but continued stress or continued worry is damaging to one's body. If, for example, you were being chased by a tiger, your God-given emotion of fear would trigger your adrenaline glands, releasing sudden energy into your bloodstream to help you to escape. Your hurried escape would also burn up any excess adrenaline. If, however, the tiger of stress or the tiger of worry keeps on chasing you and you can't get away, the chemical balance of your body is upset and trouble results. Too much adrenaline for too long can cause high blood pressure, arthritis, kidney disease, and hardening of the arteries. When you sit around and you worry all the time about these things that Jesus is talking about, it does damage to your body. One other doctor at the Michael Reese Hospital in Chicago states, anxiety places more stress on the heart than any other stimulus, including physical exercise and fatigue. Dr. McMillan goes on a little bit further and says this. He says, the office of a physician is filled with people suffering from nearly every disease in the book because their minds are beset by 1,000 worries about their finances, their health, and their children. And maybe that's you tonight. Maybe one of the reasons why you don't have no energy, you don't have no stamina, you have no get up and go. You have no desire to do something for God. You have no desire to be a part of a missional movement. You don't have any energy on the inside. It may be, and I'm not a doctor, I'm just giving you some biblical advice tonight. It might be that you are suffering from worrying. You need to lay your cares in the lap of Jesus. You need to take your burdens to the Lord. You need to ask God to help you, not only spiritually, but in helping you spiritually, I believe that He will help you physically. If you believe that, say amen. I believe that with all my heart. If I take care of the spiritual life and bring it to the Lord, I believe that God will help me with the physical life, giving me the energy and what I need to do to bring Him honor and glory. So back then, they worried about their food. They worried about their fitness. They worried about their finances. But they also worried about their fashion. Look at verse 28. The Bible says, and why take ye thought, or why worry about raiment? Why worry about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and toil not, neither do they spin. We are so fashion conscious today in our culture, huh? We are. We want to make sure that we're wearing the right type of label. You ladies, you will make sure that you have the right style purse. And it's got to be, you know, like a nice, beautiful Michael Kors or something nice like that. I remember last year when I was at Christmas time, I took Melissa to the big Dillard sale. Have any of you ladies ever been up there during the Christmas sale, the big, huge Dillard sale? Well, everything's like 50% or 70% off. And we were camped at the door. And I was getting kind of anxious, you know, what I'm preaching about tonight. There were people lined up everywhere. And so my mother-in-law's on one side of the store. Melissa's on another side. And they got me on another side. And they're talking, you know. It's like military strategy, you know. We're talking on the phone. You know, and they're like, when the door's open, you need to run through here, go down this aisle, turn left, and there's going to be the purses, you know. And so she was wanting to get one of those nice purses. And so here they went. The door's open, and there I went, man. I ran this way. I ran that way. I'm running down the aisle, and there's a bunch of screaming people running down through there, too. And I watched one lady. She took her arm, and she ran by the table, and she scooped up every purse that she could with her arm. She had like 10 purses on her arm when they were done, and we had nothing left. I had nothing to get Melissa. We are so fashion conscious. We got to have the right label on our purses. We got to have the right label out here bearing on our chest. We got to have the right style of designer jeans. I want you to know, friend, it is not a label that brings you dignity. God did that when He created you. Somebody say amen. You teenagers that are here, you college students that are here, you're thinking you've got to wear this and wear that in order to fit in and be cool, to be dignified. I want you to know that God loves you, that God created you. It's not a label that brings you dignity. It is God's life on your life. It is God's presence on your life that brings you dignity and honor. If you believe it, let's give Him a hand clap of praise. Amen. You're created in the likeness and image of God. It's not a certain type of clothing. It's God's life shining down upon your life. Well, they worried about fashion. And then, of course, as we started out the sermon, people worrying about the future. These people worried about their future. Look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why, preacher? You just don't understand. I got these bills to pay. I got these deadlines to meet. I got all these things happening in my life. And I'm anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, let me give you a poem that really sums up the entire sermon. Listen to this. It says, he worried about the weather. He worried about his health. He worried about his business. He worried about his wealth. She worried about the children. She worried about her clothes. She worried about the neighbors, and she worried about her woes. They worried about their taxes. They worried about their pets. They worried about the future. They worried about their debts. They worried, and still they worried. They worried, but alas, they worried about a lot of things that did not come to pass. I'm probably pretty right on this, that the things that you have worried about in recent days has not even come to pass as of yet. And the devil traps our mind, and he causes us to worry about things that's going to happen tomorrow, when we serve a God who knows all about tomorrow. I want you to know this. He's making preparation today for your tomorrow. He's not just working today. He's already working in your tomorrow. He's providing for you. Hey, when you wake up in the morning and you get ready to go to work, he is there. When you go to bed at night, he is there. In the middle of the storm, he's there. God's here tonight with you. He is making preparation for us in every phase of our life. And so the things that you're probably worrying about right now, it's really never, ever probably going to come to pass. And it's a way that the devil gets a hold of your life, catches you off guard, and brings fear into your life. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said it this way. He said, whenever we find ourselves worrying, our first action ought to be to get alone with God and to worship him. And I say amen. Adoration is what is needed. We must see the greatness and majesty of God. We must realize that he is big enough to solve our problems. How many believes that? Say amen. That God is big enough to solve all of my problems. Well, what about the tough times of worry? What does the Bible have to say about the tough times of worry? I can say three things about it tonight and we'll go home. First of all, the Bible teaches us that worry is sin. Did you know that it is sin in your life when you are worrying? You said, Brother David, why do you say that? I want you to look at me within our text tonight. You may not think that worry is sin, but it is. It must be, because three times in this passage, verse 25, verse 31, verse number 34, Jesus commands us. It is not a suggestion. God says, he commands us, take no thought. That means do not worry. Did you know that worry is disobedience to the commandment of God? If God told us not to worry and we still do, then we are being disobedient to what God would have as the will of God within our lives. And so I believe that worry is a type of sin. It's not a weakness, it's a wickedness. It is where you and I are saying within our hearts that we cannot trust God, so we have to worry. This is out of his control, so I have to worry and be anxious about this. Worry is one of those acceptable sins in the Christian life. It's okay for all of us to worry. We think it's part of being human, but it's not part of being human. God views it as sin. It's not part of being human. Listen to me. God views it as a type of sin. You see, when you worry, you're saying, God, you can't be trusted with this situation. God, you can't handle this situation. That my worrying is necessary and your word is temporary. I want you to know today that God's word is not a temporary fix for some situations. It is a permanent solution for every situation in your life. It is not temporary, it is permanent. You're saying tonight that, God, my worrying is necessary. I have to worry to get me through the night. I have to worry to get me through the week. And God, your word is just temporary. No, God's word is a permanent fix to all of the problems that you and I face. If you believe that, say amen. Listen to what the Bible says. Psalms 32, verse number 8. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. And I love this verse because it reminds me of my mother when I was growing up. It says, I will guide thee with my eyes. Did you have one of those parents that guided you with their eyes, huh? Man, I was so afraid. When I would be in church, you know, talking to Scott Miller and Lori Lovingood, as we sat there and played tic-tac-toe, you know, in the pew while the preacher was preaching. Today they play on their iPhones. Back then we had to play tic-tac-toe on the back of a bulletin or something. And I was so afraid. And my mama caught me playing tic-tac-toe, and I could feel her looking at me. And I was afraid if I turned around and looked at her, I would turn to a pillar of salt, you know, and just be froze right there. I was so afraid she was guiding me with her eyes. She didn't have to say, come here, boy. She didn't have to say, sit down. My mom and my dad could walk into a room and just look at me. And I, like an obedient dog, I just sat down. You know, I knew exactly what they wanted me to do. They were guiding me with their eyes. I want you to know, friend, God's eyes are upon you. And as you gaze upon the Word of God, you will see the face of God. You will hear the voice of God. You'll know the passion of God. You'll know the mind of God as God begins to commune with you by leading you and guiding you and directing you along the way. The psalmist says he's going to guide me. He's going to instruct me. Look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And the Lord, the Bible says, the Lord, he it is that doeth that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. When I read those two verses together, God is saying, today I'm going to guide you. Today I'm going to guard you. Today I'm going to go with you. And today I'm going to give you everything that you need. So when you face the tough times of worry, you can be an overcomer. If you believe it, say amen. And so worry is a type of sin. It is disobedience to the command of Jesus, where he said, do not worry. Do not be anxious about the things of this world. So not only is the sinfulness of worry, but what about the senselessness of worry? The Bible tells us a lot about this in verse 24 to verse number 26, that it's senseless to worry. And let me give you two main reasons why I believe it is senseless for you and I to sit around and worry about what's going to happen within our lives. Number one, it's just simply foolish. Look at verse number 25. The Bible says in verse number 25, it says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Watch this. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Why is it senseless, preacher? Worry is just simply foolish. Worry is looking around at your life in only one dimension, and that's the physical dimension. Failing to see the spiritual dimension of your life. Understanding that God is there, that God is helping you. You look at the physical dimension and you're wondering, are my barns full? Do I have enough money? Do I have enough food? Do I have enough clothes? And we worry and worry about the physical thing when we ought to be focusing on the spiritual life, that God will never leave us, that he will never forsake us. If he will take care of the lilies of the valley, he will take care of you and I. Somebody say amen, I'm preaching right now. If God will take care of the flowers, and God will take care of the fields, and God will take care of the animals, God will take care of you and I, who's created in his likeness and in his image. So it is simply foolishness to begin to worry. Look at verse 26. It says, behold, the fowls of the air. Then it says, are ye not much better than they? Listen, when you worry, you do something that even the animals do not do. The animals don't even worry. You know what they do? Birds don't worry. Birds sing. Birds don't worry. They fly. Birds don't worry. They don't live in the valley. They live high up in the treetops. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I ought to be like those birds. We were built to sing. We were built to fly. We were built to live up on the mountain with God, not in the dark valley. God's going to take care of us, so sing. God's going to take care of us, so live. God's going to take care of us, so love one another and do what God has called you to do. If you believe that, say amen. It is senseless to worry. Why? Because it's foolish, the Bible says. God's going to take care of you. Not only is it foolish, but it's fruitless. Look at verse 27. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Worry never solved the problem, never dried a tear, never lifted a burden, never removed an obstacle from your life. Somebody has observed that worrying is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. And isn't that true? It'll give you something to do, but you're just not really going nowhere. So stop worrying. It is a fruitless act on your part. It is sin in your life. It is fruitless. It is foolish. And most certainly, verse 30, it is faithless. Look at verse number 30. The Bible says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into an oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Listen, O ye of little faith. And so the Bible's saying tonight, not only is it foolish and fruitless on my part, but the Bible says it is faithless. It is a way that we walk around where we're not believing that God's going to take care of us. We worry about the next job. We worry about the next check. We worry about the next morsel of food. Let me ask you, has God not taken care of you this week? If he has, say amen. The things that you're praying about, that you've prayed about over the years, hasn't God come through time and time and time again? So whatever you're worrying about right now, take it to the Lord. God said, I don't want you to worry. God doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to be bothered down with anxiety. God wants to set you free, as we said, like the birds that sing and live on the mountaintops. God wants to do that in your life. You know, I know it's difficult for us. We are human, and our depraved nature, we want to worry. We want to get anxious. You know what? I think it would be good when we identify those times when we're getting worried and we're getting anxious, that if we could identify those times, just to pause and go to the Lord in prayer. And simply say, God, it's me again. Lord, it's me again. I was worrying yesterday, and Lord, I'm doing the same thing today. God, deliver me from my fears. How many believes that God delivers from fear? Say amen. George Mueller said it this way. He said, the beginning of worry is the end of faith, and the beginning of faith is the end of your worry. Not only do we find it senseless, not only do we find that it's sinful, but there is a solution. It's found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33. Simply put, worry is it's faithless because it denies the sovereignty of God, it denies the authority of God, even denies the integrity of God. Because God said, I love you, and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. He tells us not to worry. So he doesn't want us to live there. So to worry insults his integrity. To worry denies his authority in our lives. To worry literally takes away, or not takes away, but denies the very sovereignty of God in our lives. And so Jesus gives us a solution. And what is that solution? It's found in verse number 33 of chapter 6. You ready? Listen, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, did you know that tonight? That verse that you memorized in Sunday school, that verse that you've heard time and time again, that you've probably quoted before, did you realize that that verse is embedded in the context of worrying? It is embedded in the context of being anxious. It's embedded in the context of being fearful of what's going to happen with your finances, with your food, with your future, with your fitness, all these things we talked about. The Bible says, this is my job. I am to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things, food, fitness, finances, and even my future, all these other things that Jesus talked about shall be added unto you. Aren't you thankful for God's word? Somebody say amen. Three things very quickly. Number one, there is a principle you must see. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, when we talk about a kingdom, we are talking about a rule. We are talking about the rule of God in your life. If you have a kingdom, you must have a king. And we have a kingdom, the kingdom of God. And our king is King Jesus. And when the Bible says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, it is saying this in essence, we are to seek first the rule of God in our lives. Seek first the rule of God in our lives. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, all this stuff that's going on with the NFL and, you know, that's happening today. And I'm not going to try to get into a political sermon by no means, but I said this to him. I said, you know, if you want to know how to respond to the government, if you want to know what to do when it comes to how Christians are to respond to the government, I am not to look to football, I'm to look to my faith. I'm to look to the Word of God. And when you read 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 to verse number 3, you will quickly find out that we are to pray for those that are in authority. With those that are in rule, we are to pray for them. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't particularly care for Barack Obama's presidency. But while he was my president, I prayed for that man every single day. Every single day, I prayed for that man. I didn't like a lot of his policies. I didn't like a lot of his procedures. I may have been very good friends with him one-on-one as individuals. Don't know. But I will say this. I didn't care for a lot of things that went on. But one thing I did do is I never wanted to speak bad about him. I wanted to lift him up in prayer. I prayed for him, for his wife, and for his children. And I asked God to bless them each and every day. And as a child of God, that's how you ought to respond to government. Somebody say amen. You are to pray for those who have rule over you. And then when you look at Romans chapter number 13 and you begin reading that, you find that Paul gives us detailed outline of how we are to respond to government. We are not to protest. We are to pray. We are to render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, unto God what is God's. We are to give tribute to them because those that are in government, listen, all powers that be, they are ordained of God. Somebody say amen. God has allowed them to be where they're at this moment. He puts up whom he puts up, and he tears down whom he tears down, according to the book of Daniel. And God can take even the evil intentions of man and the crooked policies of man, and God can use them for greater glory and good to speed up the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. So all that's happening right now, you say, oh, the world's just out of control. Well, I look at my Bible and I took a sneak peek in the back of the book. I know how the story ends. We win and Jesus is coming. Somebody say amen. While I'm here, I am to give honor and respect, and I am to pray for those who are in authority. The Bible says to seek ye first the kingdom of God, that is the rule of God in your life. So when it comes to all the answers that you have about things pertaining to life, I'm confident you can find direction in the Word of God. And what you need to do is you need to form a biblical worldview. You need to look at the world through a different set of glasses, lenses. The Word of God. The Word of God becomes those lenses. And you put them on and you look at the world around you. You say, well, I feel it should be this way. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what I feel. It matters what God has to say about it. Somebody say amen. And if God says it, it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm to obey God. And as a result, as I deny myself of my agenda, my wants, and my desires, I deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow him, God has promised to bless us. God has promised to bless us because of our obedience to him. So there's a principle here when it comes to worry. I am to seek the rule of God and his righteousness. Second of all, not only is there a principle you got to see, but there's a person you must seek. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom, the rule of who? Not the rule of the church, not the rule of the preacher, not the rule of the committee, not the rule of a bylaw, not the rule of the rule of God.
Amen.
The rule of God. I'm going to make sure that I'm living my life according to the Word of God. Now, the preacher's authority ought to stem from the Word of God. The deacon's authority ought to stem from the Word of God. The bylaws and the policies and procedures that we have here as a church, everything needs to stem from the Word of God. The Bible is the final authority for all of our faith and practice. Somebody say amen. And so I'm to seek first the kingdom of who? The kingdom of God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Jeremiah 29, verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Not only is there a principle you got to see, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the rule of God in your life. Not only is there a person that we have to seek, but notice last of all in the text, there's a promise. There's a promise that you can seize. Listen to what it says. And all these things shall be added unto you. All of what things? Everything Jesus said previously to take no thought over. All those things that you're worrying about in that physical world, your health, your wealth, your finances, your future, your fitness, all them things, Jesus says, take it to me. Seek ye first my rule in your life. Seek God first in your life. And all of these other things, the desires of your heart, God says, will be added unto you. No wonder the great hymn writer wrote that beautiful song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Tonight, there's some needless pain that you are bearing. There's some things that you should not be going through right now. Some suffering that you're going through, all because you're worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow when God wants you to give it to Him today and live for Him today. I'm going to ask Brandon to come, and we're going to sing perhaps a song of invitation. You may have a need to come forward. The invitation is a way for you to respond to the gospel. Maybe you've got some things that you're worrying about. Listen, you are in good company, all right? Know that you're in good company. All of us in this room, we are all guilty of worrying. Me, you, and everybody else. It's a part of our fallen nature where the devil just lies to us, plays on our emotions, and causes us to get our eyes and our heart off the will of God and the work of God in our life. And so I don't want you to feel ashamed if you have to come. You may have some legitimate concerns in your life. We want to pray with you. I believe you cast your cares before the Lord because He cares for you tonight. If you believe that, say amen. And so I'm going to pray for you. If you have a need, this altar is going to be open. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that you hear us, that you're with us. Lord, that you will never leave us and never forsake us. And even in my deepest worries, Lord, you are there, ready to forgive, ready to help. So God, help me to understand tonight that my worrying is it's a type of sin, of disobedience. Lord, you've commanded me not to worry. It is faithless. It is fruitless, Lord. So Father, I'm very foolish. So help me, Lord, to take my concerns, my anxieties, my fears, my worries. Help me, Lord, to place them in your lap as you love me and lead me to be all that you've called all of us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.